the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock! That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Edition we have coming up out of the first break, Brett Ciancia. That's right, Pick Six Previews does a very, very upstanding job covering college football. You've heard him on this show now for a few years, and we're glad he is with us. Does a very, very good job. That's right out of break number one here in hour number one. And then Blake Ruffino down in Louisiana. That's top of hour number two. He is always excellent as well. That's the guesting today. Yeah, we're keeping it limited today. And most days, that's what our goal is. Our goal is never to guest it up a bunch. It's to not guest it up much at all is the goal on the show. But when we do, we want them to be excellent. And that's what we strive for, and for the most part, that's what we get here. We're very fortunate. 615-844-5600. That is the F&M Bank hotline. If you want to tweet the show, at BillisKing, and email BillisKing7@gmail.com. Broadcasting Wilco kiosk location. From the Strike and Spare Studios. Patton Cook back at, what would we call, Mission Control? I don't know. That's kind of overused. He's in the launching pad of where this show originates every day at the WNSR Studios. If you're wondering what that means, that's Nashville Sports Radio. Now, this show is not a local show. Yeah, we... Everything about this show strives to be unique. If there's one thing that my goal is every day, every year, every decade on this show, it's to not do it like anybody else. Not cookie cutter the show. This is not a show about local radio. If you drive through this town, where I do the show every day, all you're going to hear about for 24 hours is the Titans and their debacle versus Arizona, where they got humiliated. That's all you're going to hear. And look, that's fine, okay? It's a pro team. That's not happening here. That's not what we do. We do not do that same show. We originate with the intent on... College football dominates this show, and it's wherever the story is. Doesn't matter what city, what state, it's wherever the story is. And it's whatever is attractive. That's what we do here on this show. And again, we have some areas we'll go outside of that thesis, but that is, in general, what we strive for every day. If you're new, that's what we do here. We do not enjoy the pro game very much at all. Doesn't matter what the sport is. I just don't. That developed over the years. That developed. I think it hit me probably about 25 years ago. That's not a new phenomenon based on a politics or something. It has nothing to do with it. No. It is, I did not enjoy, once we got into the 90s, I just did not enjoy pro sports very much. Any of them. Any of them. Doesn't matter which one you want to point out. And the college game just engulfed me, particularly college football. And now, actually, maybe 5 or less years college baseball, more so. Now, nothing equals college football in our solar system, but college baseball has made a run at things in the spring. I was just looking. I pulled up FanDuel, and I haven't really – I think we might have mentioned it a little bit Monday-ish, but I haven't really looked at the numbers for week three, the spreads. And again, this is just random. I'm just going through here the way they're listed. I'm not going league by league or whatever. And I'm not going to mention them all. I'm just going to point out a few. Miami and Sparty. The U is favored by 6.5. Michigan. Now, here's the thing about Michigan. I am very understanding of that fan base being happy right now. You really haven't beaten anybody. Now, I'm not saying you won't. You may be much improved, okay? We've got games that can either prove or disprove that. But it's not like you beat Washington and this is one of those big-time Washington Don James teams or something. Got to be a little careful there. I'm open-minded to how good you could be, but I don't want to go there yet. It's almost like Michigan fans are giddy just because they're winning a couple of games and no other reason. I don't mind you being happy. That's good. Happiness is a good thing. Something to strive for, but it's not like you've done anything yet. Well, a couple of things have happened in Michigan. They're 2-0. They've looked good doing it. I'll give you absolutely all you deserve there. And, of course, Ohio State just lost to Oregon. And their defense is not improved at all. So that's the reason, that's partially the reason that Michigan fans are acting a bit giddy, maybe a little more giddy than they should. I'm just perusing here. Virginia Tech and West Virginia. That one didn't make my top five OOP, and I got some complaints about that. Yeah, I did. Bill, you left this game off. That's a good game. Something had to, if I'm going to limit it to five, something had to get left off. That is a good-looking ball game right there. I'll give you that. West by God favored by 2.5. Nebraska, Oklahoma. That used to be a game, y'all. That used to be one of the national treasures. It's not anymore, mainly because of Nebraska. They don't play that much anymore either. But, Boomer Sooner favored by 22.5. Jimbo is favored by 29.5 over New Mexico. Let me keep perusing here. Notre Dame and Purdue. Now, this is this morning. I pulled up FanDuel, and these are the numbers on FanDuel. Notre Dame favored by 7.5. I know Brad got in there at Purdue plus 8. The headliner for week 3. Alabama and Florida in Gainesville, in the swamp, and Florida's getting 14.5 at home. If Mr. Richardson is not available, I don't think that 14.5 is going to be enough. Clemson, Georgia Tech. Clemson favored by 28.5. Florida State after that humiliating home loss, last play of the game against Jacksonville State, are a 4.5-point underdog in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. That's right, against Wake. Southern Cal without Clay Helton. -8.5 at Washington State. Buckeyes 24.5 Tulsa. Let me go fast here. See what I'm missing. Arkansas favored big over Georgia Southern 23.5 Oh, Mississippi State. Trey is mad about this game. He's got to go to Memphis to play. And he's mad because Memphis has said no cowbell at the game. Don't do it. Don't you even try. So he's ticked off about that down in Natchez, Mississippi. South Carolina, Georgia. Georgia favored by a trillion points, 31.5 Auburn, Penn State. That's the second headliner behind Alabama, Florida. Auburn, Penn State. Let me have some of that. Can't wait to see that game. Penn State favored at home. Happy Valley, 6.5 LSU, they host Central Michigan, 19.5 Stanford coming here to take on Vanderbilt, fresh off a win at Colorado State. You'd think they just won the Natty because of that win. Vanderbilt getting 12.5 at home. Ole Miss and Tulane, Baby Kiff -13.5 Anything else jumping out at me? I'm trying to go fast. No, nothing else. I think I just touched on most everything I wanted to get to this morning. Topwater Assassin, Bill, Gamecock fans offended that they're getting 31. Okay. That's not a very good South Carolina team, to say the least. If I'm ranking the bottom teams in the SEC, it'd be Vanderbilt, Tennessee, South Carolina. Would that be it? Who am I skipping on there? Now, you can't say Kentucky anymore. You can't say Arkansas anymore either. A couple of years ago, maybe you could. Can't say that now. I'm trying to peruse the league. In my brain here. Who am I leaving out? I think those are the three. Mississippi State, I don't know that I would put them in there right now, but I would have, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Tennessee. If you're ranking the 14, you're not going by East and West. That's probably who I would have in the cellar right now of the mighty, mighty SEC Conference. Coming out of this break, you hear the music. Yeah, first break of many. That's just radio. You got to take breaks. That's the rule. We have Brett Ciancia, who's poised and ready up in Pennsylvania. Coming up just in a couple of minutes. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. We watched traffic volume increase quite a bit, 65 down through Madison. Here comes that steady flow of traffic through Mount Juliet on I-40, leaving Wilson County, headed towards Nashville. Sure, we've seen a couple of wrecks out here this morning, most have been minor at this point. Hey, Prince's Hot Chicken is now open inside the Assembly Food Hall near the National Museum of African American Music on Broadway. Log on to princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
What is it about a classic that appeals to us? Hello, I'm Sammy Stewart, president of F&M Bank. There are a few classics that haven't changed, this truck and these glasses. You know, with proper maintenance and a few upgrades, a classic still works today. We invite you to experience the classic customer service at F&M Bank that has been our hallmark since 1906. Check us out at myfmbank.com.
F&M Bank, your money.
Smart choice.
Radnor Wine and Spirits has been serving the greater South Nashville area since 1976. Locally owned and operated, we're here to help you celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, or anything you have to celebrate. We have a large selection of wine, spirits, and high-gravity beers that can fulfill any want you have. Visit us at 2635 8th Avenue South in Nashville, or give us a follow on Instagram at RadnorLiquor615. Log on to the new website, RadnorWineAndSpirits.com. That's Radnor Wine and Spirits in Nashville.
Bob's Steak and Chop House, located at the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef. The menu formula is simple. Incredible meat, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Classic steakhouse food prepared and presented in a manner that Bon Appetit calls the kind of fare you'll want to go back for again and again. Voted one of the top 50 restaurants in the country by Travel and Leisure magazine, and one of only 11 steakhouses in America that serves A5 Wagyu steak. Bob's Steak and Chop House offers the classic steakhouse experience. For reservations, call 615-761-3707. Open Wednesday through Saturday, 5 to 10 p.m. And they've got complimentary valet parking available. Bob's Steak and Chop House, located 5th Avenue downtown at the Omni Nashville Hotel.
What in the hell's an internet?
Nashville Sports Radio has been covering Music City for over 20 years. From your radio dial to the App Store, there's no reason you should be without Nashville Sports Radio. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nash Sports Radio. We would have a TikTok account, but we're old and we don't know what that is. From live games to live streaming, at Nash Sports Radio has you covered. Download the Nashville Sports app to your phone now, or the puppy gets it.
He knows all there is to know about Johnny Five Star, and now you can too. It's Bill King.
Preciancia with us, Pick Six previews every Wednesday morning for this segment. Brett, I preach a lot about spring and summer, and we all have a vision of the season, whether we do it for a living or whether it's a random fan out there. Then we get to the season. Some things might occur the way we thought they would, but we always get surprised. It doesn't matter what year it is. Things happen. Week one, week two, you don't even have to go far into the season, and things happen that surprise you. To date, what stands out to you in that category?
Yeah, good morning, Bill. And that's really the beauty of college football, really. I mean, yeah. The unpredictability of it, because, I put out a preseason preview book for the last 10 years. I spend 9 months each year really working on it, studying it, trying to find every little angle, every stat, every clip of game tape, everything, talking to coaches and coordinators. You can do as much as you want, and then when that ball gets kicked off in September, it's still randomness. But that's what we love. And a couple things have stood out. I think Ohio State's defense really looks like a glaring flaw right now. We knew the offense would be a little young, and a couple freshman mistakes from C.J. Stroud. But that defense really was getting gashed against Minnesota, but then really more so against Oregon, giving up 300 rushing yards and really just couldn't get off the field. So seeing one of the dynasty teams with a flaw, you can go down so many things that have been surprising. I had UNC very high, and they did not look like a top 10 team at all so far. So I know it's early, but we can go conference by conference. There's so much that's shocked us, but here we are.
Georgia Dog, and this is a very good question, says, ask Brett, Auburn, Penn State, Bo Nix has been not very good on the road. Can he win at a place like Happy Valley?
Well, yeah, it's interesting because I'm based up here in Pennsylvania. When you talk around to some Penn Staters, they are extremely confident for this game. And when you talk to people from the SEC footprint, they're confident that Auburn's going to win. So it's rare to see both sides so confident in a non-conference game. It's interesting just to see that their expectations are wildly different. Yeah, Bo Nix, he's great at home. I think his split at home is like 22 touchdowns to 3 picks. On the road, it's 10 and 10. 10 touchdowns, 10 picks. So he's a whole different character on the road. And yeah, this is the toughest environment in college football, I think. A true whiteout night game in Happy Valley. You're going to have 105,000 or whatever it is, all wearing white. And not only that, but they've been gearing up for a year and a half, 2 years for this one without last year and no fans. So this game has been circled on their calendars for over 2 years now. So it's going to be tough. And you saw Penn State's front seven and their secondary really strong. I know that Wisconsin's offense isn't anything to write home about, but just the physicality that Penn State showed in that opening Saturday. So, yeah, it's going to be very challenging for Nix and Auburn.
I think Penn State's the better team regardless of where this game gets played.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, coming in, I had Penn State winning this one back in my book. I mentioned it. But here we are on game week. I still like right. I like Penn State. Now, when you look at Auburn, it's interesting. It's rare to see a team that leads the entire country in yards per play on offense and yards per play on defense. Now, you got to look at that schedule and see who they played. But nonetheless, against anybody, just to lead on both sides of the ball, it's 9.9 on offense and 3.0 on defense. Just incredibly dominant. They've done what they're supposed to do so far.
Johnny Vegas down on the Emerald Coast says, ask Brett about UCLA and Fresno State. Now, he's got UCLA minus 11. I don't know that Brett's Mr. Gambling guy, Mr. Pick the Odds guy, but the game outright, what do you think?
Yeah, so I do put out a couple of picks against the spread each week on Odds Checker, so I do follow that closely. The good thing is I get to pick which ones I write about. So when I look at this
right.
week, I didn't pick the UCLA one. That one I'm not too sure about, just because for total clarity, I don't cover the non-AQ, so I don't know Fresno as deeply as I know these Power 5 teams that I cover in the book. So from an outsider perspective, I think UCLA definitely wins that game. They look physical in their opening two games against Hawaii and Michigan, not Michigan, LSU. I like UCLA to win. Now, I'm not going to pick that one in my weekly spread pick, though.
Your thoughts on the Southern Cal news and the opening?
Yeah, I mean, the longest hot seat we've ever seen, I think. It's been about 3 years now. Of course, Clay Helton, they went 5-7, a losing record back in 2018, and then the chatter started, and it lasted all of 18, all of 19. It was strong enough to really sink their whole recruiting class. If you remember the 2019 class, USC, usually a top five recruiter, they finished like 50. So to see that, and then, yeah, 2020, I know it was a short year. They went 5-0. It was still kind of an asterisk season. And then to see the embarrassment there against Stanford. So I don't know. The timing's odd. Do it in week two. I mean, it's such a distraction now for the rest of the season. Could they have waited a month or so? They're still way ahead of the coaching carousel. So, I don't know. The timing seemed odd, but then when you look at USC's track record with this stuff, like firing Lane Kiffin on the tarmac at a road game, who knows? So, yeah, just let's start the carousel early, really.
Two games in, yeah. And really, you can't come to any kind of conclusion unless you're targeting coaches who are retired right now. You're going to have to wait for months. I guess it doesn't hurt to name an interim coach. But, yeah, it was a little bit unusual. Frankly, I was doubting. We spent a whole lot of time, actually Monday, Brett, talking about this and the administration just showing no interest and wanting to get better, and then all of a sudden they do something about it. That Pitt and Tennessee game, I know it wasn't a ranked game per se, but it was very entertaining this past Saturday, I thought.
Yeah, it really was. I had it on one of my screens, and I was impressed by Kenny Pickett, the 50-year quarterback from Pittsburgh. He's taken a lot of heat from the media over the years, being such a long-term starter. He looked sharp. I mean, he was putting up great numbers and moving the ball in Tennessee. For what it's worth, though, they couldn't stop Tennessee either. There was a lot of points. They couldn't pull away. They couldn't secure a lead. So, credit Tennessee's offense moving along. Now I saw they rotated their quarterbacks a bit, but really still a work in process for Tennessee. And that was expected coming in when you have such an offensive identity shift from Jeremy Pruitt's, 1980 smash mouth football to this UCF Josh Heupel. So, but no, Pittsburgh, yeah, that's more offensive firepower than we usually see from them. So we'll see if they can get back to their normal Pat Narduzzi defense to pair with it. But, yeah, I was impressed with Kenny Pickett so far.
Arkansas was getting points. They were getting 5.5 at home versus Texas. Dominated that game. Your impressions of the Razorbacks?
Yeah, well, Arkansas was my outright upset pick of the week there. And they covered. They won. It was a dominant performance down there in Fayetteville. First reaction is I feel so happy for those fans. I mean, it's a great fan base. They're passionate. They love it. That's their team. That's everything to them down there. And they deserve better than what they had under Chad Morris in the few years before that. So I was down there in 2019 when they played Auburn, and the score was 51-10 Auburn. It was half empty, and the fans were real upset. And, they deserve better than that. So very special moment there to knock out an old Southwest Conference rival and really humiliate them. I don't know if anyone, if you had the audio on when you watched that one, they were chanting SEC. They were doing the horns down, kind of a welcome to the conference kind of move for Texas. But just got to be a really rewarding night for Arkansas. And it wasn't a fluke. I mean, the physicality was there. The athleticism from the receivers and running backs were there. That defense, it was schemed up perfectly by Barry Odom, really rotating their looks. So a lot of dime package, flying around the field. Couple All-American candidates. So I really like Arkansas. I moved them way up in my rankings for this week coming up.
Alabama and Florida I've got in the one slot for week three. I've got Penn State Auburn. I believe I have that one in the two slot. Anyways, Gainesville on Saturday. Do you give Florida much of a fighting chance?
It's going to be tough. I mean, they've been rotating their quarterbacks a bit. So far, I think Anthony Richardson looks better. And I know that Dan Mullen has a track record with rotated quarterbacks. He's proven he can do it, but I'd like to see some stability there. Also reading some of the tea leaves and the quotes, I think that they've been trying to hide a little bit on offense, a little bit of vanilla. So who knows if there's some mysterious, look that's going to come out on Saturday. But no, I think that you have to still pick Alabama. It's a much safer bet. I thought that last year's Florida team would have been their better shot at knocking them off, and they were really going punch for punch, score for score, up until that late in the game last year in Atlanta. So, but then when you think of all that they lost, I think Alabama is the safer pick right now. I know it makes for bad radio, but until we see it from Florida, Alabama remains the favorite.
Yeah, and with Richardson, he's got a hamstring issue, which can be very hit or miss, and we just don't know, unless there was some news I didn't see here last 12 hours or so. We just don't even know his availability for this game.
Yeah, that, and then we don't know how this defense is going to hold up. The last decade they were strong. Last year was kind of the aberration. 2020, they really collapsed there. So when you're looking at 2021, we don't know yet the strength. On paper, it looks like it should be much improved. I really trust Todd Grantham. I know that's a hot topic down there in Gainesville, but he's got a great track record along with Dan Mullen. So I like the coordinator there, and they have tons of five-star and four-star talent all around. So does it gel? Is it able to really move back to what they used to be the last 10 years? So they're going to get tested Saturday, big time.
Georgia was a heavy favorite over UAB. They started because Daniels was not available. Stetson Bennett, instead of all the storied quarterbacks in that quarterback film room with all the stars next to their name, and Bennett played incredibly well. Were you somewhat surprised there?
Well, when I saw that line started to drop, I think it opened up around 30, and when JT Daniels was declared not to play, it fell all the way to 22, and I thought that was definitely an overreaction. So that was one of those I hopped on. I figured Georgia could just run the ball every single snap and still cover 22 points. So with that said, yeah, credit to Stetson Bennett there really coming in. I know that last year he had some solid starts, some not-so-solid starts. He's a former, I guess, walk-on or You know, he doesn't have the five stars that Vander Griff or JT Daniels has. But, yeah, he managed the offense well. They were airing it out. Kind of a perfect game on both sides of the ball for Georgia. So, you know, in terms of SEC race or playoff race, it's good to know that that's your backup. It's good to know that's your high caliber of backup you have. It's not going to sink to the, you know, it's not going to sink the season if JT Daniels misses a couple more games. So, that's good all around. That was a dominant performance.
Brett Ciancia joins us every Tuesday. Have you witnessed anything like the last play of the Florida State-Jacksonville State game?
Wow. I'm still in shock watching that for a couple reasons. I mean, first off, the easy one is how do you get in that situation against an FCS team first off? I mean, Team Jacksonville State that lost 31-0 the week prior to UAB, we just said, got destroyed by UGA. So first off, before you even talk about that one play, how do you even get to that? That game should be handled in the third quarter. Now, speaking to that last play, in the press conference, Mike Norvell said they were in prevent. If you watch that back, I think they rushed five, and I think it was man-to-man and a cover one over the top, so just one safety in the back. That did not have the typical prevent look. So that's pre-snap. And then when the ball snapped, you know, they let those guys get behind them. Guy makes a catch, and if you see some of the effort from the secondary, some of those DBs, I don't know if they were stunned or what, but when that ball was near them, they kind of stopped playing. It didn't look right. It looked very odd when you watch it on tape. So, and then, yeah, so Jacksonville State gets the big upset win. I remember they were close against Auburn about 5 years back in the opener. They almost had an FBS win then, but they get it done here. The first time ever Florida State loses to an FCS team, and that hot seat's getting hot now after that performance.
Tell everybody how they can get your content, all your information.
Yeah, thanks. It's picksixpreviews.com and at picksixpreviews on Twitter. 10th annual season preview book, but now that we're into the season here, we're just you know, covering it day by day. And all day Saturday, three screens going for 14 hours. I'm trying to catch everything and then catch up during the week.
Appreciate it, Brett. We'll see you next Wednesday. Sorry.
All right, thanks, Bill. Enjoy the games.
Appreciate it. Get my days confused. Seriously, I have to. Sometimes on this show, this happens all the time. I have to think about what day it is. We've done so many, and I enjoy it so much, but they smash together, and I have to, like, okay, wait a minute. Exactly which day is it? Anyways, I've confirmed it's Wednesday. I'm good there. I'm good. Coming up top of the hour, Blake Ruffino. We'll get down into Louisiana. Check on what the pulse reading is down there. It's always interesting. There's always a sniff. There's always some drama. They can also win big. Is there a program? Let's just go 20 years. You can go past 20 years if you want. But let's just go from 2000 to now. 21 years. That has multiple natties. They got three, which is a bunch in 20 years. Compared to everybody else, that's a bunch. And then tons of drama in there, too. I don't think anybody does that better than LSU. They would even admit to it, I think. We'll take the break. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. They're trying to mop up this wreck here on the 40 eastbound off-ramp at Fessler's. It's not causing too much of a problem, but there is flashing lights here. 40 eastbound near McCroy Lane. You may see that wreck as you come in the Bellevue area there, coming in from Kingston Springs. All that traffic now on 40 eastbound in West Nashville, and a crash being cleared 24 eastbound between Whites Creek Pike and OHB. Prince's Hot Chicken is now open inside the Assembly Food Hall near the National Museum of African American Music on Broadway. Order online today at princeshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Warmer colors, cooler temperatures. The season is just getting started, and Lowe's has everything you need to keep the fall gatherings going. Like getting cozy around gas fire pits. Everyday low prices starting at $2.49. And keeping things tidy with Ego Blowers as low as $179. There's still more to fall for at Lowe's. Home to any budget, home to any possibility. While supplies last, selection varies by location. Valid 9/9 through 9/15, U.S. only.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference before, during, and after disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, or wildfires. So when disaster strikes, you want to be prepared to protect them. Be sure to microchip or tag your pets. Never leave them behind in a major crisis, and be sure to have an emergency kit ready in your home at all times with a pet crate or carrier, leash, blanket, ID, and medications, their water bowl, and 7 to 10 days worth of food. To find out how to protect your entire family during a disaster and help our best friends in their worst times, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
I'm Bart Durham. I cut my teeth in the legal profession for 3 years as an assistant United States District Attorney. 10 years as a prosecutor changed my view of the law and how it can be used to make people's lives better. I started my own practice, helping injured people fight insurance companies.
I'm Blair Durham. My dad and I want to help. Give us a call at 615-242-9000.
It's a Bill King Show.
Whoever gets hired at any school, the fan base is immediately hypnotized. Once that guy stands at the podium and he says, go team, and here's the way it's going to be, and I'm a winner, the fans automatically just melt. They could hire a guy you've never heard of from a different planet. And once that guy's done at the podium, you'd say, there it is. Happens every time.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
He gives you a wide latitude on topics because Bill King isn't afraid of your telephonic interaction.
Johnny Vegas points out Fresno State, UCLA. Fresno State and Oregon in the opener. Fresno State had more first downs than the Ducks, had more total yardage, passed for more yards, did not run for more yards, obviously didn't win the ball game, didn't have the points, but statistically, And lost the turnover battle, which again, if you can see a stat sheet, turnovers can probably be the clue that tells you most of the time, maybe about the outcome of the game. Yeah, if you could get a stat sheet, let's say somebody handed you a stat sheet before the game was played. You get the final stat sheet. The football gods hand it to you. It does not give you the score, though. It gives you the stats. Rushing, first downs, passing yards, third down conversions, whatever it might be. Which of those would, of all the stats, and again, you don't know the score, you just see the stat sheet, the numbers, but not the scoreboard. Not the touchdowns, not the field goals, etc. Probably turnovers would give you the most clues about the outcome of the game. Not 100%, but would most of the time lead you to a reasonable conclusion. But that's interesting. Yeah, that's very interesting. Kevin down in Dublin, Georgia. Bill, the Fighting Pittmans will beat us Saturday by 70. He's a Georgia Southern fan. Big Georgia Southern fan. He says, these coaches we have couldn't win with the 0-1 Miami roster. Wow. That's not good. RJ in South Carolina, big LSU fan. Bill, you left the ill-prepared Orgerons off your SEC cellar dweller list. I think the talent's too good to put them there, regardless of the lack thereof coaching. Jim battling New York City every day. What's up, sir? Hello, Jim.
Well, so we finally made the move to get rid of Helton, and to me it's anticlimactic because clearly he was going to get fired anyway. So I'm going to hang and be optimistic when we finally hire a coach, because I was talking to a friend yesterday. There's no such thing as a perfect hire, because you won't find out how perfect they are until hindsight. How do they do? But some of the names being thrown out absolutely cracked me up. And people are just trying to fill tweets or posts or articles. And I just don't, none of them outside of maybe Franklin, because he's got a bit of a pedigree, impress me. And some guys aren't even mentioning guys like Matt Campbell. So I don't know, man, but I tell you, what got me thinking, Bill, the most is that I only know two players on USC's roster right now. That's Slovis and Malapai. After that, I got so apathetic, I don't even know he's on the team anymore. So they got a lot of work to do to bring a lot of fans back, and that's part of the reason they got rid of him when he started seeing people in the third quarter leaving that Stanford game.
And other than the Cincinnati connection with Mike Bone, I don't really know what he's thinking. I'm not saying that in a negative way. I just don't know what his target list looks like. Here's what I would do. Regardless of what the answer would be, the first call I make is Urban Meyer. You might not have a one in a trillion shot of getting him, but that's about as close as you're going to get to a sure thing on a college with all the resources and the recruiting you have at your disposal at Southern Cal. If he says no within a half second of your call, that's fine. But that's the first call I make, and maybe the timing's bad. Maybe he has no interest, but and then you go from there. I don't know what they're doing. I really don't.
Yeah, there's a rumor going around. Well, obviously, Fultz, you know, doesn't want Meyer because of the issues at Ohio State. That's kind of been well out there.
Yeah.
But there was a rumor going around late last night, early this morning that I saw that Fultz might be leaving for whatever reason. Okay, so that removes that obstacle, and obviously I don't think Urban's going to be happy in Jacksonville, so you make that call. Absolutely agree with you. You make that call if Fultz is not there. If Fultz's there, she's not going to allow that call. It's just I think there are some coaches out there that will probably fit well. It's going to take time. And people seem to forget, Bone wasn't exactly all that great at Colorado either. So let's not – I don't want a Tennessee situation where a new AD brings the coach from where he came from. I don't want that yet. So we'll see. But I'm just kind of hanging back and wait until they – I want to see how the team does this year under this new, you know, revitalization. And then see where they get before I, you know, start, you know – waving the pom-poms like your bit before I got on the break, coming out of the break. I'm not one of those fans that believe what the coach just says and go rah-rah. There's a lot there, but I'm not one of those guys. I just said, yeah, just prove it to me first, and then we'll go all rah-rah on you.
Right. Jim, be safe up there, brother. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you, my friend. It's full bore here again. Traffic's bad. Be safe down there.
Okay. Yeah, Jim is a Cali kid, big Trojan fan, but lives in New York City, his job, and he's in pharmaceuticals and or a prosthesis somewhere in that area, and he drives a lot, and he's in and out of that city, but he battles it every day. Anyways, we've got another break coming up. Hour one, top of hour two, Blake Ruffino down in the booth. Looking forward to that. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. They're trying to mop up this wreck here on the 40 eastbound off-ramp at Fessler's. It's not causing too much of a problem, but there is flashing lights here. 40 eastbound near McCroy Lane. You may see that wreck as you come in the Bellevue area there, coming in from Kingston Springs. All that traffic now on 40 eastbound in West Nashville, and a crash being cleared 24 eastbound between Whites Creek Pike and OHB. Prince's Hot Chicken is now open inside the Assembly Food Hall near the National Museum of African American Music on Broadway. Order online today at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
This is Brent Musburger's Action Update for WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio. Simple Green is perfect for making your auto, RV, cycling, boating, and other sporting equipment look like new. Visit them at simplegreen.com.
College football in the SEC Saturday night. Vanderbilt at home against Stanford. The Commodores an 11.5-point underdog at home. Elsewhere, Tennessee at home against Tennessee Tech. No line was available for that game as of early this morning. Baseball, Braves and Rockies tonight. Atlanta with a 4.5-game lead in the division. The home favorite minus 200 on the money line. The Rockies at plus 170. The over-under 9. The heavyweight title fight between Anthony Joshua and Alexander Usyk will be at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in London September 25th. Joshua the heavy favorite minus 285, Usyk plus 210. For vsin.com, I'm Trey Westerberg, Nashville Sports Radio.
Award-winning Davidson Reserve Whiskey is the truest expression of what originally inspired Pennington Distilling Company, based in Nashville, to open a distillery in 2011. It's a reflection of Tennessee heritage that connects Tennessee to a long and storied history of distilling alcohol. Each expression is mashed, distilled, aged, and bottled right on site. Davidson Reserve takes pride in our craft, and we are honored to share it with you. Pick up a bottle of one of our award-winning Davidson Reserve whiskeys from your local retailer today. Award-winning Davidson Reserve Tennessee Whiskey is one of the world's first chances to experience and taste a small batch craft Tennessee whiskey. Taste this locally distilled, aged, and bottled spirit today. Award-winning Davidson Reserve Tennessee Whiskey.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning. Cloudy skies, chance of showers and thunderstorms. Highs today near 80 degrees. For tonight, still a chance of rain. Cloudy skies throughout, lows around 68. For Thursday, sunshine, highs near 85. Thursday night, mostly cloudy, low 69. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR, my name is Rocky.
Sports Radio
Get into the Bill King Show, 615-844-5600. He doesn't charge by the minute.
Few people ask me about Wayman. All the news is still encouraging. I have not talked to Wayman myself since Saturday. He actually called me and I missed the call and I called him back. And we talked for a few minutes. And he's getting better every day. The next goal, and I've talked to you about this, is to get him up on his feet. And that might require going to a rehab facility, which they're looking into right now. I think that is actually the next step. Don't know when that happens. I do not have that information. But it's encouraging how he has recovered. A lot of people are not so fortunate. And a lot of people who are in better health condition than him, or some people that are in much better overall health than Wayman is, don't get the same result. So we are very fortunate. And I think everything that you folks have been part of, including the GoFundMe, has been a big lift for Wayman. The prayers, you folks responding to the tweets, you folks texting him and checking on him and everything. No, I know at times that can be overwhelming, but I'm telling you, it was uplifting for him. It was an energy boost that he absolutely needed. So, appreciate that very much. But again, as far as I know, and I checked with Michelle yesterday, later in the day, just to see if you heard anything new, she says it's still all very encouraging, just in general terms. I don't have any specifics for you. Karen over Nebraska, Bill, your fascination. She's talking about Urban Meyer here. With a head case quitter, never ceases to amaze me. Well, yeah, there's areas to critique Urban Meyer, but there's only one coach during this era, college football era, that's better, and that's Nick Saban. Urban Meyer is as close to a sure thing at a college with the resources you have at Southern Cal as you could possibly ask for. Now, again, I don't know that he would have one iota of interest in doing that. I'm not even suggesting. I'm not trying to say there could be a possibility there. I do not know that to be the case. But if you're looking for a five-run grand slam, that's the one right there. Yeah, Nick Saban's not leaving anymore. Next time he leaves, it's to not coach anymore. That's the closest thing we have to, okay, that's absolutely going to work. Now, there are other hires you could make that could work, too, but the guaranteed percentage isn't as high as Urban Meyer. Talk about how he left Florida, that's legit, okay? There's a lot of questions there. Talk about the lack of discipline at Florida, which he admitted. He admitted it to me. They had a rogue situation going there. Not so much at Ohio State. No, the discipline thing wasn't nearly, at Ohio State wasn't really even a thing. Now, the way that ended there wasn't pleasant, but it wasn't the same blueprint as the Florida departure. And he won a natty there, and he won big there at Ohio State. Won immediately big there at Ohio State. You give him that Southern Cal brand, and in very short order, he's got them back looking face-to-face with the powers of college football. I don't, again, let me repeat, I don't have any clue as to his interest level. I'm assuming he doesn't have any interest. So I'm not promoting it other than saying, if you're looking for the, again, five-run grand slam, that's the call you make. Yeah, that's the call you make. 614, Rob, Bill, Karen's fascination with your fascination, did I say that right, with Urban Meyer is too funny. Fascination. I think I had slurred that somehow. Maybe this ice water is getting to me this morning. Yeah, Karen has her coaches that she just doesn't like on her list. That's her list. But I get critiqued every day. I mean, that's part of the solar system we're in. Urban Meyer is a fantastic coach. Now, I don't know if it'll work out in the NFL, but I don't need anybody's approval of Urban Meyer's abilities coaching a college football team. Anybody's. I mean, he's got other detractors. Karen's not the only one. Allen with a picture with this excavator crushing another house. Yeah, Allen digs things up or crashes them down. If you're going to hire Allen, he does both. And he's got the receipts to prove it. He can show you his work. Hour 2's coming up. That means down to the... Oh, Karen doesn't like this guy either. Click. Blake Rapino's coming up. Down in the booth. We'll see what kind of drama we can stir up. Omni Nashville Hotel.